Hello, everybody. Welcome to Use Wage Radio, podcast number 16. That's right, boys. Sweet 16. 16% sweeter than that MTV horror show, My Super Sweet 16. On tonight's very special episode, friendships are tested when Todd lends Russ his favorite pair of hedge clippers, and Russ doesn't return them for a week. And when he does return them, they're covered in blood. Ow. Everybody, I'm Jeff Lyons. Tonight in Russ Stark Studios, team used wigs. Very, very happy to have a special guest in the studio. We're very pleased to welcome Mr. Rob Avery, musician, artist, designer, and formerly of the band Boy Sets Fire. Hello, Rob.
You. Howdy.
Very happy to have you here. And, Rob, I don't know, we like to talk about...
Are you going to introduce Todd and I, or we're just chopped liver
winning? Well, the okay, thing
is, 16, I think people know who you are.
Yeah, right, it's number 16. I'm flowing.
Maybe people might have tuned in on number 16.
Maybe I dropped your names in the intro. Who knows, right. If you're listening. Rob, but let me first tell you what we do here. We kind of talk about music. We're music snobs, and sometimes we drop in a Star Wars reference. I don't know if you're into that at all. It's a little geeky. I'm just afraid it might not be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to my pictures and my Star Wars collection.
Yeah, okay. Awesome.
You have a gigantic Star Wars collection?
Yes.
Do you have an AT-AT?
I do.
Just one?
He has the Death Star. You have two of them.
No,
right?
I only have the trash compactor.
Oh, with the little pieces of foam and the green
and
the green one-eyed monster. Do you at least have him?
Nothing. I've lost control already.
Orange and blue, right?
I've lost control too. But you know, good lord, that's what happens here on Newsweek Radio.
I actually have all 77 of the original.
Do you really?
I haven't seen Todd this excited.
Yeah. I'll show you pictures.
Could you put something over your shorts? kids, we are going to talk about all that good stuff and more. And especially, again, we have a lot of questions for Rob.
How about that piece coming in?
That was awesome, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That was me.
It was just me.
I had an acoustic guitar and bongos. And I just, right before the show, I started going nuts. Actually, Rob, I think that was you.
That was me.
That was awesome.
That was pretty heavy. That made me feel like it was something that like a wrestler would listen to with the hood up, like on the bus on the way to a wrestling meet, you know, to get psyched up to tear somebody apart.
Yeah. Is that kind
of... Sure, that's actually...
Is that what you had in mind?
That was my muse.
What's the
actually
title?
Triple H. I have nothing.
Do you know who Triple H is?
Jeff? Sure.
Go ahead, say it.
He's a wrestler, Triple H.
What's it stand for?
What do the three H's stand for? Hello?
Hunter, Hearst, Helmsley?
Oh, I have no idea. It's the only wrestling name I know, like, from the past, like, decade. I know the old school.
Oh, that's...
Like,
the
Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, those are the guys I know.
Junkyard Dog.
I was actually online this morning, speaking of figures, looking through eBay at the old LJN wrestling figures, the big rubbery ones that they couldn't bend or couldn't move, you know? And
I actually still have the ones where
the
you
thumb
stick
ones?
Your thumb in.
Hell yeah.
I had Hacksaw Jim Duggan and...
Did he come with the board?
Well, you could actually use the back of the package if you cut out the little holes for the thumbs to come in. There was a picture of a ring there.
Did Hacksaw have his thumb permanently in the up position because he gave thumbs up?
I think the figure did.
Yeah,
I never had them, but a friend of mine did. And he had the ring too, where you could pull the guys on the rubber bands let them go.
Yep.
And they'd snap at each other.
Yeah, but what you're talking about is those are the full size action figure guys.
They're
kind
of like the He-Man
and
guys.
No points of articulation, no movement, right?
Single
and
mold.
And if they have heavy rubber though, or plastic.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's weird. I really didn't think we'd be geeking out this quickly, but it has completely turned into a geek fest. I just have to add that, speaking of wrestlers getting very excited, getting pumped up by music, back in the day, I remember watching like Lehigh Valley Wrestling, and they show this kid, he's a monster, and he has a hood over his head, and he's just listening to headphones, and it was pre-iPod, so he had these giant cans over his ears, and he's got it hooked into like a giant Walkman, and the announcers are like, Tommy is a very intense man. He likes to listen to music to pump himself up. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is playing Maiden or
King
Priest.
Diamond.
King Diamond, maybe just Bad Brains, maybe just completely like ready to go rip someone's freaking head off. Afterwards, he pins the guy maybe in 3 seconds. Maybe that was, you know, twice he pinned him in that time. Comes off, and they're like, dude, like, what were you listening to? He's like, that was the latest Genesis Human Touch. I love it. It just makes me feel, like, really happy and ready to go. I was never more disappointed. I was ready for him just to, like, whip out the coolest band name. You're like, oh, the Meat Men. I'm like, really? That'd be so cool. Genesis. Are we going to play some Genesis tonight, guys?
No, we're not.
I like Genesis.
No, I'm not saying prog rock Genesis. I'm talking...
I'm talking Peter Gabriel Genesis.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. No.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me
You're
get
talking
Sister
Studio.
Sister Studio.
That was Phil Collins' solo.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? No, I'm talking
drummers,
that I Can't Dance.
That was Genesis.
Right. Yes, and that was
what about that terrible one song that was supposedly about him seeing someone throw somebody off a boat
in the air tonight.
That's also Phil Collins solo.
Yeah, is that that's true, in the air tonight from the movie. It was in a movie.
Was it really?
It was in a movie.
Eminem singing. There's a reference in Eminem solo.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
What movie? Muppets Take Manhattan.
No, actually, very close. It was a Rachel Ward, Jeff Bridges movie called, I believe, Against All Odds.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was In the Air Tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to play, I'm going to start off the show with something that I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but I like his band. It's the guy from Pedro the Lion, David Bazan.
Okay.
Bazan. And this is his new song, How I Remember. That was Dave Bazan, Bazane, I don't know what his name is, but it was damn good, and that's how I remember. What do you guys think?
The beginning of it kind of reminded me of, like, On the Mouth era Superchunk.
And isn't that a good feeling?
Little Precision Auto action.
Yeah.
That sounded, that does sound a lot different than this stuff.
Popular, yeah. Like, sure. Rob, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No,
Rob, I'm just so excited. He's Rob gonna... brought up Superchunk.
Okay. I was going to actually ask Rob about his music, Jeff.
But I was going to get to that. I only have 12. Well,
Rob was letting me listen to some of his ideas as we're putting them together, and I was listening to them earlier. And one of the things that I thought was, I mean, we played one of the tracks as the opener, which is, you know, really killer, and it kind of in line with the stuff that I've heard you do before. But some of the choruses and things that you had told me that you had written in some previous songs, it seemed to me that if you were let loose, you definitely had like some pop influence that
oh,
could
yeah,
come
totally.
Out. You know, and the second song on, you know, just with those demos you had there, especially sounded like one of the heavier moments of the Posies or something. It was really, You know, I just was wondering what your influences were on that side of the spectrum.
Jeez. I have so many, it would be hard to pinpoint. I think the song that you're talking about, the second demo song.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Polvo. I don't know if you're familiar with Polvo.
Big fan. Big fan.
They're a little bit more on the, like, you know, mid-90s, touch-and-go era, Merge Records era, like, kind of like...
A lot of warped-out instrumentals.
Yeah, like, really jangly indie rock.
Right.
Like, what's the band?
They came out at the same time when Eric Bachman's band, Speed of Cattle, Archers of Loaf were
big. Yeah, Archers of Loaf. Like,
North Carolina scene.
Just to give you some background on the progression of kind of what I got into, I mean, I had a cousin that was really, really, really big into metal, like Slayer, like early 80s, Judas Priest, stuff like that, and that was my kind of introduction to music. And from there, I had another cousin that was really into, like, Rush and R.E.M., so I kind of got that prog side.
Rush and R.E.M.
Rush and R.E.M.
That's a good combo.
And then...
They toured together.
From there, I had a friend in, like, 7th, 8th grade, and his brother was super huge into everything that was, like, British.
Right.
So, like, at the time, the shoegazer scene was really big, so I got into, like, Stone Roses, My Bloody Valentine, and a lot of the older stuff, like The Clash. Mm-hmm. And from there, in high school, then I started getting into hardcore and, you know, punk stuff more.
Right.
And, so I have a really kind of weird eclectic mix of stuff that I like.
I call that a perfect mix. You're speaking
my
language.
That's a Jeff Lyons cocktail of music if I've ever heard one.
Well, lately we have been getting into, you know, well, not lately, I guess, like, early 2003, like, right when I was leaving kind of music as a full-time thing, I really started getting into, and I hate this word, like, the alt-country stuff.
Sure.
Like, Wilco and... you know, Uncle Tupelo, Sunvolt,
right.
Whiskey Town, Ryan Adams, stuff like that. So I have like a weird jingle jangling mess of stuff.
That's great, man.
To refresh our listeners, Rob played bass, correct, in Boy Sets Fire?
Sang backups.
And you sang backups, and Boy Sets Fire was a very, very, they're still around, very popular indie to major label band. Back to indie.
I'm on the outside of the music world or industry, and When you talk about moving from independent to a major label, what are some of the perks? Like, is it just distribution, or does it mean that advertisement? Like, do you guys don't have to pay for advertisement? Suddenly, it pops up in a bunch of magazines, or you have like cardboard cutouts of yourselves? And, I mean,
I have like eight of them at home.
Well, Rob's also an artist, and he made them himself. That was just not his own.
Me.
That was weird. You could have ditched a couple of the other guys, but you know.
Well, I mean, jump into a major, you get amazing distribution. You get ties to radio that you never had before.
So radio stations will play singles suddenly, yeah. Which they hadn't before, or they wouldn't consider before.
Yeah, because a lot of record labels pay to get stuff played.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So you're saying that on the radio they don't just play what they think is good, or
the 13 songs they play on the radio?
Huh?
Yeah, I know, Todd. I
thought that was illegal at this point, though.
Payola.
It is. But
it still happens.
But it's done in real subtle ways. I mean, it's not like, you know, cash in the bag, you know, like
Sun barter system.
It's not like Sun Records is driving.
You give me karate lessons and I'll
take your windows.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'll teach you some yoga moves. You play my record. No, we you know, when you jump to a major, you get, like I said, you get the distribution, you get noticed by radio. You get a huge advance sometimes, which is nice. You can actually pay bills at that point.
More groupies?
Definitely. I would know no such thing.
Were you married your whole time in the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
did they keep it secret like John Lennon so that you would appeal to single girls more so?
No, I was with the same girl for the last 12 years, so we weren't married during that time. Only part of it.
Obviously,
I think we'll need to edit that out.
I don't know. Miles doesn't seem happy about the love talk, so we might want to.
He's hoping I was single.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Why don't we? We'll get back to more questions with Rob. But why don't we have Rob? Why don't you play a band that you enjoy listening to, and maybe you enjoy dancing to, or just listening?
Well, you know, when you're in a band, it's funny because you see other bands out there that are almost at the same level, or just below you, or about to get better. Like when we were doing well, like bands like At the Drive-In were getting really big.
Right.
You hated them.
Did you really?
Just because like,
you're competing,
maybe it was just
right?
me. Maybe it was just me. But I loathed them. I was like, oh, they suck. I don't like people like them. Well, there's a band like that, like Taking Back Sunday, that they were just starting to get big when we were you know, doing our thing. And I hated them. I'd never, you know, I'd barely heard them. And a buddy at work got the new record, and I had no idea who it was, and I popped it on. And, like, I would literally give a testicle to be able to write a record that's as good as the record they just put out.
Nice.
And they're amazing. I think this song's called Liar or something like that. It's the second song off the new record. It's really good.
Awesome. And these boys just took back Sunday, didn't they? Rob, tell us a little bit about that. That was Taking Back Sunday. What was the name of that song?
I actually don't remember. It's something about lying or liar or something.
But it's off the latest album.
It's off the newest record. And there's actually a local guy who used to be in a band called Breaking Pangea.
Oh, yeah.
I forget the dude's name. I think it's Fred, that's it. He's now, the last two records, has been played in Taking Back Sunday. And you can really tell, like, the songwriting's kind of shifted.
For the better.
Oh, way for the better.
Yeah, they're a very good band. I liked all Taking Back Sunday. I believe they're either New Jersey or
Long Island.
Yeah.
They're from Long Island?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah. Look at Russ.
The guitar player, Ed, used to be... We actually used to sleep at his house when we were on tour. He used to be in... I think it was Silent.
You know,
Florida.
Ed. Russ. From Long Island.
You don't know?
I know everybody on the island. I'm going to tell you why I didn't like that track.
Okay.
And
we'll give you a 32 seconds.
Okay.
And you already wasted three.
It reminds me, that kind of bouncy ska rock, reminds me a little bit...
Nothing to do with ska.
Reminds me
every time, every year, once a year, being a middle school teacher, we sit in it. We sit in the auditorium. We watch a multimedia presentation, a montage of music and sights and sounds, and teenagers explaining to the kids at our school why they shouldn't try drugs, why they shouldn't smoke.
All right. They've been doing those for years, man. Yeah, so we used to watch them.
And can I just tell you one thing? That's all bullshit.
It's three giant screens, you know, right. And it's like kids riding a skateboard and then like explaining why they shouldn't smoke or try underage drinking and stuff. And I'm not saying the message is bad, but that music reminds me of the music that goes through those entire things that, you know, like a bunch of kind of square guys, like, we need something that kind of sounds edgy that the kids can connect to, you know, and there's like, they're shaking words at the bottom of the screen that's like been scribbled, you know, like, don't do it, you know, trust yourself.
So that I hear where you're coming from. The intro kind of lends itself to that whole kind of ska aesthetic. It's got the, like, the kind of Elvis Costello backbeat kind of thing. That's just an intro for that song, and it's kind of particular to that song. If you listen to the rest of the record, you probably wouldn't get that vibe.
And well, also, this is a guy who listens to, you know, really quirky Fiery Furnaces, Beta Band.
Like
he likes the stuff that sounds like people who got locked in a room for 2 days with like all kinds of toy instruments and stuff, and just came up with crazy crap.
Polyphonic Spree.
No.
Okay.
You know, like that kind of stuff. You know.
So you can check out
all of us. I do like quirkier stuff. Like,
see, every week Jeff and I bring like two or three songs that we'd like to play on the podcast, and maybe one gets nixed. Todd brings like 15, and we maybe let one or two slide through.
Yeah, that's Todd brings the, and you know, I like to say, Todd, those songs are perfect for you to listen to in the privacy of your own boudoir. You brought up an interesting point, Rob, when you said you'd stay at that guy's house. I read, like, every book known to man about the punk scene in the early days in D.C. And one of my favorite things about it is, you know, like, Minor Threat would travel up to New York, and then they would stay, you know, at, like, wherever band was playing, like Agnostic Front. They're like, oh, crash with us. They go down to Texas, crash with the big boys. And it was just so cool and so collegial, and I just loved that whole aesthetic. They come to Philly, they stay with, you know, Electric Love Muffin, whoever, and all those great stories. So was that still, when you were touring, part of the scene?
The band that I was in, when I got into it, they'd already been around for 5 years.
Right.
Bands prior to that did very limited touring. I did, like, one East Coast tour where we went, like, from Detroit down to Atlanta, and we, you know, stayed on a couple of people's floors here and there, but we didn't really establish any friendships or relationships or anything like that. But when I did really kind of get to live that lifestyle, it was the first time I ever went to Europe. It was in 2000, and you know, you go to a show in the U.S., you meet the promoter, and you're lucky if he shakes his hand or looks at you twice. But in Europe, you know, the promoter's usually a hardcore kid. They're gonna, you know your band, know your background. And they usually give you a place to stay, and if not with them, it's with one of their friends. And the first time we went to Europe, we were in this shitty, like, can I say that?
Yes, you did. Yes. Sure can. Todd, you say it just to make him feel good.
Shitty.
Awesome. this crappy, like, high-top van with all our equipment, seven stinky dudes, like, holes in the floorboards, the diesel fumes leaked in. I never slept so well. But anyway,
pooping in a bucket.
It was from September to December. It was so long. But it was the best tour I'd ever been on, because we got to live with the people that were promoting our shows, get to know them, see what they live like. And not only was it cool just because you get to know these kids, but also it's different cultures, because it was pre-European Union. So there's a real kind of distinction between the countries. So I got to, you know, stay with people and meet people from Prague to Germany to, you know.
You got to exchange
Sweden.
Money every day in different countries.
Every time you smell, like, carbon monoxide, it takes you back, man.
Yeah, yeah. Diesel fumes, I just kind of...
Were you amazed at how everyone just smoked cigarettes? But the kids probably didn't. The kids today probably don't smoke as much as their...
I don't know. I'm a smoker, so...
But you are a smoker?
I haven't had one since 2 Sundays ago.
Oh, okay, so you're fine. No, I just, you know, when you head over to Europe, it's startling how much everyone smokes, you know.
Lots of smoking.
So you just quit smoking. Congratulations.
Yeah. Tried to.
Right. We like to, Rob, speaking of decadence, we like to mention the drinks we drink. Right now we're drinking another, and whenever I bring wine, guys, what's the one thing you notice about the wine I bring?
Twist off caps.
I like to drink what some people call bum wine.
Easy access.
There you go, Rob. Rob is a better name for it. Easy access. It doesn't mean it's a bad wine. This is called Goats Do Roam. It is a South African wine. Rob, what do you have in your hand?
I am holding a... can't tell. It just says red wine.
So yeah, that's pretty much
it. Why not? Eddie Merlot.
Three perhaps, X's on the label.
Perhaps a Shiraz.
It's like the white Pathmark label with the red and blue stripe. It's wine.
Rob, I think it's called Perhaps Shiraz. I like that.
Big House Red, and it looks like Ralph Steadman drew the label. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that does very Steadman.
It does look, yep.
I'd like to see a little crazy Hunter Thompson.
Rob, by the way, has a background in art. So he's an artist, graphic designer, web designer, musician. So the podcast that it takes the three of us to do, he could probably do by himself.
That's true. Todd, I think you said it in very scary terms that if the three of us had a kid, it would be Rob.
Yeah.
And you also said that maybe then we should stop trying.
But I think the weird thing about this podcast is as the conversation keeps moving around, it's like the three of us, the light goes on over one head and then the light goes off on the other two heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Just now, he said, this looks like Steadman, and my light just turned right off. You guys were talking about it.
And when
you
Rob mentioned Polvo, I haven't had a Polvo conversation in 7 years.
The three of us are like a Venn diagram with three circles, and Rob is the whole entire center part. Yeah, I wouldn't be against like going out in the backyard throwing a ball around with him.
Yeah, I heard you guys were switching over to sports.
Yeah, we love. I mean, most people think of us as just like pop culture nonsense and music. But
I was 6'10" all the time.
This is very similar to that. I mean, we'll sit here and just talk about whether like Donovan lost 15 pounds since last year, whether that's going to affect his game, especially in the short pass. I'm like, well, how many hours have you spent on that?
And we're obsessed with Donovan McNabb's weight. I think you.
I find him sexier, leaner.
Yeah,
but a lot
that
of people
before,
like
yeah.
when he has, there's more of Donovan to hold.
Do you think he keeps his sports hernia in a jar?
Did they take it off?
Rob, I've mentioned
if he does, then I think Todd McFarlane will buy it on eBay or for something.
I'd buy that on eBay.
Would you buy that on eBay?
Yeah. eBay usually the last two things have been Donovan McNabb body parts.
Nice.
And I'm really looking, if anybody out there has any, 50-centimeter Shogun Warriors, I'm looking for Trans or Z.
Oh!
Jeff, that my mic just went off.
All right. As Todd is putting
him.
Something over his shirt.
Oh, you had
them?
Yeah, I had them. I don't have them anymore. Yeah, who does?
His fist would shoot off?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, so hey, cool.
Ross, I remember that guy.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had, the big bottom jaw of a knife looking thing. And the
blue spikes this tangent. It's what they have to talk about, these kids. They're going to continue this talk about
toys.
Toys are cool. But we're going to play an oldie but a goodie. And, Russ, I believe this is something you've been wanting to play for a while.
Yeah, this is just a summer song. This is Behind the Sun by the Chili Peppers.
Talking dog is fucking me.
back, and that was the Chili Peppers off of, what was that, Uplift
Mofo Plan.
Party Plan.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say about those guys is I did think that they were getting progressively better, and Jeff, I know you're all about their long distant past, you know, the good old days, but I actually think that By the Way was their best album so far, which was the last one.
What's up with... Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
Right.
I don't hate them.
Right.
I don't know anything about them. When they come on the radio, I won't turn it off.
Right.
But what's up with all the state references in his songs?
That is true.
They're playing catch up to...
state references? States?
Alabama, whatever.
Yeah, he does.
It's like, there's two or three singles where... The Californication and the new song, he mentions like 16 different states.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I have to call them out on the new album because a lot of their songs now are tending to all land the same. They're like all in the same tempo, and they all have this verse that the melody is like...
That's it, Russ. I said the same thing.
And he just keeps every verse is the exact same thing, and the choruses are changed up a little bit. But it is. It's kind of like they found their formula.
You know where they found it?
But
they've an airplane song. You know, my aeroplane.
Yeah,
that's kind of probably about 6 years ago.
The thing is, they didn't need to because there are songs nestled in there that really are great, and they're not following this formula. But I don't know why they decided they needed to do this now.
See, I've noticed that with Rick Rubin at the helm, some bands kind of really flourish, and other bands kind of just like go into that convention. They just find a convention and they adhere to it.
Right.
Like, this might shock you, I'm a big Dixie Chicks fan. Their last record, Home, is more like bluegrass kind of stuff. I thought it was amazing. The new record that Rick Rubin produced, every song is the same tempo, same kind of melody, same song structure. But I think Rick Rubin's an amazing producer.
Sure.
Like Tom Petty, Wildfire is one of my favorite all-time records. I don't know. He can be either the kiss of death with the band, or he can just, you know, make them do amazing
things. Well, apparently U2 is in talks with him to do their next album, which I think, who knows what they'll get out of that.
When I say the word golf rock, what do you guys think of? If you were a golfer and you wanted to rock
Michael
out,
McDonald?
That's pretty good.
Like in a
yacht rock
version, that scene.
Oh, yeah. They kept playing the video over
and
over.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
It's a great movie.
No, I, like, to me, the average, now, like, in this
like
century.
80s.
I know, what the hell are you doing? You guys are bringing up, like, you're like, Loggins and Messina? No, I'm talking about, like, in the 90s. Like, a 28-year-old guy who golfs, you know, a guy wearing fat khakis and a polo shirt.
What's like, in the Blowfish.
That's it.
Bluey and the Hole Fish.
Bluey and the Hole Fish. Like, to me, that's golf rock. It's like, I have no problem with sports guys, but I like to say guys are either sports guys or music guys. There's a rarity where there's a guy who's like equally into both. Rob, are you a music guy or a sports guy?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. I love me some sports.
Yeah.
He does have a Flyers license plate on the front of his car.
And he is wearing an Eagles jersey and helmet, which is odd.
I do. I have the black McNabb jersey I got for Christmas last year. But I'm a Red Sox fan.
Oh, wow. All right. Well,
I saw Curt Schilling's 200th win.
I hate Curt Schilling.
Why? Because he left the Phillies?
He's an arch conservative. He can go suck at the teat of George Bush for all I care about. But he's a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong there.
That's Jeff Fix's favorite athletes and sports teams.
You can tell I'm not a real sports guy where I get angry.
Is it a blue team or a red team?
I don't know.
I agree. I probably hate his politics, but he's a great pitcher.
Right. I got to ask you something. It's about bands. Is it true bands today only make money touring? I mean, like, so little is made
from
records.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. That's what I hear.
I don't get most of my music music knowledge from Rolling Stone. But I was on vacation with my wife. We were in South Carolina. And I do the whole... She loves shopping. And I go with her. And my kind of deal is I go grab a magazine and I put it on a cart and I push the cart and I read the magazine. And I just don't pay attention. I zone out. So we're in South Carolina. It's packed. It's the first day of vacation. Everybody's there. In South Carolina, I could either read Guns and Ammo,
right?
NRA Today, which I heard you have a subscription.
Well, no, I actually I submit articles every day.
Oh, nice. Or Rolling Stone.
Right.
So I picked it up and with the price of gas, I was reading this huge article. They were talking about guys like, I think they're interviewing people like guys from the band Rise Against.
Love them.
which actually brought a tune with me. It'd be a nice segue.
Excellent. I think we'll play that.
Yeah, we used to tour with them. They're great guys. But anyway, the whole article was just saying, like bands are paying, like, $90,000. I think it was, what's his nugget? The guy with the perfect hair and the acoustic guitar and the tattoos.
Dashboard. Some people say Todd looks like him.
Just Jeff, I think.
I think you look like the dude from Oz.
Me?
Yeah.
Who, Russ? Adebisi, the big black guy?
I was thinking that when we were driving in.
Oz the show?
The prison show?
No, Oz the co-creator of the Muppets. Frank?
I never saw it. Actually.
I meant to mention
he that. Does look
when
like
you
him.
Said that.
I know who you're talking about. He was also on Law and Order for a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
He bit a Nazi's wiener off.
Yeah, that's right. And Rob just on the side, that guy's really ugly. I mean, really he's ugly. Not, yeah. Russ, but you look like him.
That's not nice.
I'm kidding,
that's
Russ. He has the sturdy, handsome jaw that you do.
Anyway, Chris Carrabba had to pay like $90,000 in gas, they're estimating, for this year of touring. And with just a regular bus and some other, I don't know, like what his touring rig would be. But I think the majority of bands are probably making most of their money off of merch.
Okay, merch is, all right.
But not the albums, though, right?
Oh, no.
No, wow. Yeah, obviously, like wild. Albums, it's just, that's not even into the equation. It's just
more like marketing to get people out to the shows. And the majority of the time, like I would, like if you talked to me a couple of years ago, I would have said merch and playing shows. Mm-hmm. But now with the price of gas, like...
The terrorists hate our music.
They really do. Terrorists hate our music.
Why don't we play some Rise Against? That was a good segue.
I would like to Rise Against. I like to Rise Against every single
thing. Just for the record, I think the dude from Oz is hot.
Thank you, Rob.
Damn.
Rise Against.
Yeah.
That was Rise Against from their new album, which is quite fantastic. I'm a big fan of Rise Against, have been since the Fat Wreck days. I believe they're on a major label now.
They're on DreamWorks, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? They're in the top. They cracked the top 10 with their new one. It's fantastic.
They're headlining Warped Tour this year.
There you go. Their Chicago music scene, to me, right now, is my favorite, because you have Lawrence Arm, Alkaline Trio, Lawrence Arms, who are my favorite band right now.
No, I've never actually heard them.
I could extol the virtues of Lawrence Arms for a whole podcast for 4 hours straight, but I won't. But check out some Lawrence Arms. Definitely check out some Alkaline
Repeat
Trio.
After me, the best band ever is the Rheostatics.
Rheostatics. Russ, keep drinking that wine, whatever. And then, of course, just old school Chicago.
88 Finger Louie. The bass player from Rise Against.
Right. And then you have...
Braid.
Braid.
Captain Jazz.
Wow, you're killing me. Let me get one in, Rob.
Sorry.
God, you're too fat. You're young and you're fast. I'm old. I like the Challenger, who were Mile Marker, but they moved up to Chicago. Not exactly from Chicago, but Challenger. So good.
Shellac.
Is that Albini? Steve Albini?
Yeah. Rob Weston.
Yeah, nice. I think you're winning, but
we should go to an all list format. I think
all list format.
Yeah, just like a city.
We'll
see if we're about to blow the air horn.
Russ will only play if we go like Toronto, and Russ can be like.
Okay, here's Tortoise.
Tortoise is one of the greatest instrumental bands of all time.
They are a great band.
Talking about the TLA.
Yeah, and Rob and I off the podcast were talking about great instrumental bands. That brings up Don Caballero. Tortoise.
They're from Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, great. Another great.
Here's a little. Tidbit for you.
Let's
members of Don Caballero.
Yeah.
Or Yarrow, however you say it. We're in another band called Hurl.
Yeah.
And they had a 7-inch called The Bessemer Process. And in high school or college, I was in a band called The Bessemer Process. We almost named our 7-inch Hurl, but
Was there any talk of lawsuit, litigious behavior between the two bands?
I think they're too small for anybody to notice or care.
Give me another great Pittsburgh band.
I still have 207 inches. Under my bed, like with that old band.
Well, we'll give them away if anybody wants to.
Can you? The only other band I know out of Pittsburgh is that band Everything. Remember them?
They suck.
Yeah, they were actually friends with Don Caballero, though.
One of the greatest political, probably the best political punk band. Anti-Flag.
Sorry,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, keep doing that. I'm
no, you can't. These guys, and of course the Carl Hendricks Trio, little-known band, fantastic. He was before his time. He probably would have got played a lot more now than he has when he came out. But yeah, you can name a city, and we'll name great bands. No, what is it?
Isn't Os Rotten from?
I don't know them. Damn, you stumped me, Rob. Stop stumping me.
How do you go about knowing where all the bands come from?
Because if you really like a band, that's what you get into. Todd, I was amazed.
Hey, you know what planet all the Star Wars guys are from, don't you?
Other systems, not planets, Russ. But
Jesus. See, Todd, it depends.
Who shot first? Damn you, George Lucas.
I think it really depends on what you're like. If that's like, I love music so much, me knowing what scene they're from, the reason I know that, and Rob probably agrees, then you can find other bands in that scene.
Exactly. Take San Diego, for example.
Oh.
If I say, like, 3 Mile Pilot, you'll say...
Well, I'll say other San Diego bands, like Drive Like Jehu.
Rocket from the Crypt.
Rocket from the Crypt, and I'll just go off that and say, like, an offshoot of Rocket from the Crypt, like the Sultans
or Hot Snakes
or something like that.
This very incestuous, cool thing. Like when you,
it's like band word association.
But I love this.
No, I'm passionate. I love music, but all my favorite bands. I feel maybe guilty.
Well, maybe
I'm not a good fan.
You're not. You're really not.
Well, I think it is. I think it is part of getting into a band.
Is it because you write to their fan clubs?
Well, one of the fundamental questions is where are they from?
Yeah.
I think so.
I just reviewed a band and I said don't hate them because they're from Brooklyn. Because I think a lot of bands go to Brooklyn trying to cash in on the whole scene, the whole, we're the jangly Brit poppers with the punk edge and the, you know, and a lot of bands are doing that. So I'm like, there's some good bands, in, you know, obviously there's some awesome bands in New York and Brooklyn, but don't hate them because of the area they're from.
We probably should play some happy songs, right? So who's the guy we ask when we want to play some quirky happy song?
Todd, can you make us happy and clap our hands?
I'll do the best I can. Here's The First 5 Times by Stars.
In the backyard, underneath the plastic sheeting. Outside it was pouring, and we were drunk as shit. Next time at a party,
Stars from the album Set Yourself on Fire.
Guys, I always like to drop a little trivia. I like to, you know, I like quizzes, I like trivia, I like to show how much you two don't know. Like, to me, that makes me happy. Guys, do you know the 10 best-selling albums of all time in the U.S.?
And this is for everybody, right? So Rob has a chance to show us up.
Well, he's going to. And if he's nice, maybe he'll let you
The 10 best-selling albums of all time.
Okay, this is U.S. Okay.
I'll tell you what number one is right now before we even get going.
Okay, and how? First of all, how confident are you in this?
I'm very confident.
90% confident?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're wrong, you have to chug the rest of your delicious red wine.
I don't know if that would be good.
You won't.
The best-selling album of all time in the U.S.?
Yes.
Isn't it the Eagles' Greatest Hits, Volume 1?
What, yours?
Ah, see? I need... What is it? 74?
71 to 75.
71 to 75.
To date, it sold 29 million.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Give me some. Just let's go down the list.
Thriller.
Thriller number two.
Nice. Jeff Foxworthy.
No, it did not. Here's an aside. The it seems like in the last three podcasts we've talked about the hillbilly comedians.
Yeah. Good.
Do you know how much Larry the Cable Guy makes per performance on average as he tours through this great country of ours?
Just
keep in mind,
just performing, not just for one night, selling Get Her Done
bracelets. No. Well, no, it is. It's one night, him going to, the amphitheater in Lincoln, Nebraska, 40,000 people. You know how much he makes per night, all told?
$3
million. $250,000 a night. That's what he's a comedian. He's not a band. He's not, bringing in... He's one guy up there saying, get her done 4 or 5 times. Anyway, that was an aside.
Okay, Dark Side of the Moon?
Dark Side of the Moon, Russ. That comes in at number... It's up there, but it's where the frig is it? Keep going, guys.
Sergeant it's not Pepper? Up there?
Yeah, it is.
Sergeant Pepper?
Sergeant Pepper is not up there. The Beatles have one album in the top 10. It's number 10.
White Album?
The White Album. Very good, Rob.
And I'm surprised if that actually sold as
Pink
many.
Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Being a double.
Russ, Pink Floyd, The Wall is number 4.
But Dark Side isn't on there?
It's not in the top 10.
Huh.
Guys, and Led Zeppelin album number 3.
No, 4.
No, it's number 3, but it's Zeppelin 4.
Ooh.
I'm going to... it's number 3, but number 4. Who's on first?
I'm waiting for your Casey Kasem voice.
Guys, Billy Joel comes in at number 6 with his greatest hits. Speaking of country music, this guy, the best-selling male artist of all time, Brooks. Garth Brooks, and then the best-selling female country artist,
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain.
She's actually Canadian.
Yeah.
So she shouldn't count.
I'm just kidding. But I guess it's in the U.S., right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Rob, I like to think Canadians don't count. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they just don't care. You know, it's another thing. It's like...
This from the guy who was seriously considering moving to Canada about 4 years ago.
I was considering moving to Ireland.
Right. So it was 49% of us.
Yeah.
Them and their flannel and their universal health care.
Yeah, all that horrible stuff
and
that no one enjoys.
Poutine. You ever had poutine?
No, what is it?
Watch your mouth.
Great.
What is it?
It is the best concoction ever. You can get it anywhere up there. You can get it at, like, PFK's, which is Poulet Free Kentucky Fried Chicken, for those of you from the States.
What?
But it's French fries with curdled cheese on it and gravy.
Yeah.
It sounds disgusting, but it's the best.
I got to ask you exactly, because I'm going up there for my honeymoon, so I need to know exactly what it is to order. I've been there a bunch of times. I've never even heard of it.
I've had it up there in Montreal. It's delicious.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like the Canadian Vegemite.
Somebody like a member of the Hats kind of band should write a song about
it. Yeah, they really should. They would buckle down and get a new one out.
Did we finish the top 10?
No, we're going. Okay, so then we got Garth Brooks, Shania Twain, and then the band, probably 1970s. Think 1970s.
Fleetwood Mac.
Nice, Russ. What album?
Rumors.
Then we had the Beatles clocking in at number 10, followed by a soundtrack album.
Grease,
Pump Up the Volume.
No, that was an excellent album, but it didn't get to us. No, this soundtrack album start. The woman who had the main song on it back then was a young, very pretty, promising young woman. Now she's pretty much a crack addict married to an idiot.
The Bodyguard.
Russ. That could be anybody. All right.
Was it really The Bodyguard?
The Bodyguard. And next, this is great. Wow. This is a city, a band named after a city in the
Chicago's
album.
Chicago's Greatest Hits.
No, wrong. Another
Boston.
City. Boston, Rush.
Wow, Boston beat Chicago.
Did you know that, or was that a feeling, or was it more than a feeling?
It was more than a feeling.
Okay. Followed by Led Zeppelin with another one, not Zeppelin 4, but...
House of the Holy.
No, that was the first album my brother and I really pulled our money.
Zeppelin 2?
No, it was... This Graffiti was physical.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking.
That's surprising. All right.
And then followed by Garth Brooks, another album, No Fences.
You're doing 20 here, right?
I don't know what I'm doing. And I have one more, and it is Golf Rock to the Extreme.
Hootie.
What's the name of the album? Anybody know this one?
Cracked Rear View.
Very nice.
All right, should we play some more music, Jeffy?
We should. And I'm going to play a song. And I'd like to play a song by a local band. They're somewhere out of Philly, Westchester, somewhere around this area. And they are pretty good alt-country, which I like, as well as the punk and all that nonsense. I dabble in the alt-country. And this is a band called Frog Holler with One Last Time.
Make an incision when the decision's right. To cut a slice alive. I had a vision I could live a lie. One last time. I'll get it right. If you stay with me tonight,
One last time, Frog Holler, check them out. Type in their name in Google, and I'm sure you'll find them because I don't know their website. Rob was mentioning before that he saw the latest Kevin Smith movie, and it looked like he gave it 2 thumbs up. Good stuff?
It was absolutely amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
And I had such low expectations for it.
Yeah? But you're a big, like, being a big fan of Clerks, you didn't think it would...
Well, sequels generally suck unless they're Empire.
What was the greatest... Well, the greatest sequel of all time in the same line of Star Wars, but it wasn't Empire.
Star Trek 2?
No, another science fiction.
God.
And when I say it, you will probably agree. Science fiction...
Short Circuit 2.
That was...
John 5.
He's alive.
All right, guys, before you totally geek out and lose me, and I can't reel you back in, the star wasn't a male, it was a female. I know that hurts, because we don't like to think of female action stars. But Ridley was a female.
Oh, Aliens.
Aliens 2.
I could have said for 2 weeks after I saw
Aliens
that.
2?
You think that's better than...
You mean just Aliens.
As good as Empire.
No, the sequel was better than the original, and it's one of the best movies of all time.
It went Alien.
Yeah, and then
Aliens. Right. Aliens 2, it was Aliens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, yes, I agree with you.
It was
just one clarify.
Yeah, no, I liked it. Jeez. Hey, stupid Rob.
The Godfather Part 2 was...
That wasn't science fiction, Todd.
I'm just saying, I think it was better than the first one.
Empire.
Just because you're Italian doesn't mean everything Italian's great. The Godfather's about how bad Italians were.
And Mario Brothers 2, did you see that?
There wasn't really. John Leguizamo was just doing it for the money.
You look like one of the Mario Brothers. I'm sorry, you guys just threw me off path. What I was saying is, and Rob, this is kind of in line with... Todd and I were discussing people you like, but you don't necessarily like what they do. I really, really like Kevin Smith. I've heard him interviewed. He is one of the most candid, just awesome guys. Very cool. Gives you, like, dirt on Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Holds nothing back. And he's really a smart guy. And he's just very enjoyable to listen to. No bullshit whatsoever. But I'm not a big fan of his movies.
I brought up The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, and I felt that way. But, like, I like the guy. I like the fact that he still goes to these little places and, like, puts on shows and plays for people. I like his political stance, and he put stuff up on his website. Mm-hmm. But his music, not so much.
Have you ever listened to Nebraska?
Oh,
you do?
I have. And it's okay. And I respect him.
I just respect him.
I'm a bigger fan of the man than I am the music.
Because that's the album that... helped me segue into his other stuff.
You know that Bruce...
Devils and Dust is great. Like,
do you know that he is known... I grew up in Springsteen country in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And he is known around the parts. People run into him all the time. And he has very pronounced B.O. And he doesn't care. He's just... Anyone who's run into Bruce, they're like, he's great, but he smells.
He's earthy,
it is. And he doesn't care. And he's like, listen... I got everything in the world I need.
Right.
I got a wife, blah, blah, blah.
He's
I
in that
care.
Celebrity status where you don't have to care about
if you don't
worry about body
odor. It's like he doesn't care.
I heard that's about Brad Pitt, too.
Really?
And Bob Geldof apparently is like,
well, he looks like
worst. I mean, he looks like they just pulled him out of a dumpster in the first place. Yeah. But apparently, and you know, he's getting hammered right now.
Hey, Ross, it's okay for British people to smell because it's expected. But when you have a very nice American that you wouldn't think would smell,
you know, he's touring in Italy right now, and he's playing arenas that are made for 25,000 people, and he had just had to cancel shows because he was playing a show
with
for
who?
Well, listen,
I'm joking.
He was playing an arena that can seat 25,000 people, and 48 people showed up. No, I'm not kidding you. It's Bob Geldof. Can you imagine the kick to the ego that is?
Well, you know, Boomtown Rats,
yeah. The guy who played,
and he put together Live Aid, right?
Yeah, he was in The Wall.
Yeah, his eyebrows.
Russ or Rob, do either of you have someone you like but don't like what they do, or vice versa?
You mentioned a good one.
Yeah,
Curt Schilling.
There you
great
go.
Great pitcher.
Yeah.
Awful politics.
There you go. Russ, anything?
I can't think of one offhand.
You know what? You know Dave Matthews. His music, I just don't get it. I know there's millions of drunk college kids who get it, but I've read interviews with him. I've heard him talk. He's the most laid-back guy. You know, he likes to talk about pooping in his interviews, and he's really funny. He's just like...
Everybody poops.
I like to go around a room right now and see people like to do shout-outs, basically anything they're into that they would like to promote. Todd, anything?
Yeah, go to Google Video or YouTube, or any such video player and archive, and type in Kirk Cameron and Bananas.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, if you haven't already, because what you'll come across is... I guess you guys know Kirk Cameron is a born-again Christian.
And I know his banana.
And this is a great little segment where he and co-host Ray Comfort sit there with a banana and talk about how the banana is the atheist nightmare because it was so perfectly designed and how it fits perfectly in the hand. And you can peel it. It comes with its own little wrapper. Perfect. Great nutritional value. And the fact that it's curved towards you and how it can, like, slip right into your mouth. And, I mean, it's funny enough that they're talking about the banana as the atheist nightmare. And then it gets very phallic very quickly. And it's just...
Is this serious?
They're serious.
Yeah, I mean, they're serious.
It's a gas. Yeah, so Kirk Cameron...
Gas.
Banana.
Kirk Cameron Banana. Rush, you're up. Shout out.
You know what? I wasn't really prepared for this, but if people don't know about it, you need to know about Snopes.com.
Sure.
And the reason why the reason why that's a great shout out, basically it's like an urban legend site, and it's great because when you get, like, from, you know, your uncle who sends you around some email to everybody in the family and goes, "Hey guys, take a look at this. Can you believe it?" And then somebody in the family emails back to everybody and says, "No way, I can't believe this is real." Then you can reply to everybody and just write, "It's not, colon," and then there's the link.
All right, I'll give mine, and then we'll let Rob shout out to his heart's content. I have a bunch of them real quick. You got to go to TenaciousDMovie.com. Their new one's coming out, The Pick of Destiny. And just check out the four videos they have on the homepage. Click on the cards just about how basically Satan is producing their movie. It is genius. They're really funny videos. Another great site, Strange Statues Around the World. Todd, you're into art. Rob, of course, you're an artist. And these are just really awesome public art that you'll see around the world. And if you go to haha.nu, haha.nu, you can find it from there. It's off one of the pages. I'm not sure what NU is, but it's a country code. Also check out And I Feel Fine, the best of IRS years for REM, 1982 to 87. This is coming out in September, and it is friggin' awesome. A 3-disc set of every great REM song up until 87, and you couldn't pick better songs on this. So check out those three. And that's at REMHQ.com. Rob, I want you to shout, and I want you to shout out.
There's a good friend of mine that I work with. He used to be in a jam band called the Ominous Sea Pods.
All right.
I never heard of them.
After that, he toured with this dude, Lo Faber, who was in Manic... What do they call it? Manic Street Creatures. Like, he was a singer-songwriter in that, and he did this, like, whole jam band rock opera tour, and my buddy went out with him and played with him, and now he's doing his own stuff. It's called Marlowe. It's very, very, very cool, like, Pete Yorn, kind of Wilco, all country... Excuse me, too much wine.
Never too much wine. Anyway.
It's marlowemusic.net, and he's got all his demos up there and links to all his stuff. Awesome dude. His name's Todd Pasternak, and he does really, really cool stuff.
marlowemusic.net. Awesome. Cool. All right, man. Rob, thanks so much for stopping by, and maybe you'll come back and visit us again.
I would love to.
Awesome. All right, guys. You get back to figuring out the hedge clippers and cleaning up the blood. Later.
Later. This situation's killing me.
It's got me right under the phone. I don't know where I wanna be. This doesn't make no sense at all. You're quoting every single line. I spoke too much, but I was old before my time, you told me. You see, I want my life to make more sense. I want my life to make amends. I want my life to make more sense to me. This road is crooked, cracked, and wrong. They got the odds stacked nice and high. I don't know how they get along. At the eye, eternalize. And I can imagine what they'd say. Given the choice, if I could stay or walk away, I'm walking. You see, I want my life to make more sense. I want my life to make amends. I want my life to make more sense.
Now I got it turning. You're on it. We had it. I never wanted. You make it all right. It's easy. Show it. You'll always talk to your life. I promise. Don't keep it. I go ever turn a bottle. I leave it back. It's my dramatic. Your mercy. I want my life to make more sense. I want my life to make more sense to me. You said yourself you had a plan to get us all back to the light. We talk about it every day, but we keep forgetting what it was we came to say. Now don't we? You see, I want my life to make more sense. I want my life to make amends. I want my life to make more sense to me. My life to make amends. You're rising to meet us. Open dawn on the leaders. The watch of promise changing. You signed up. I got more time to go. The hours of waiting. I got it. I'm sorry. I'm hoping. I'll see you traveling to go.